What is the kingdom of God like? Well, Jesus compares it to the mustard seed, a pearl of great price. Do we understand these parables, though? As we continue our series on the things Jesus said that really get us to thinking, we'll break open the kingdom, this time on Crossing the Goal. Jesus said, that's the name of our series, he said some very provocative things, and this time on Crossing the Goal, we are breaking open the kingdom with our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin, Founder and President of Focus, and Danny Abramowitz, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. Coach, Jesus gave us a lot of examples of the parables about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but some can be confusing. What is this kingdom?
The kingdom is a kingdom where God reigns. And Jesus came to establish the kingdom where he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, are we living in a time, though, in our society where we have a divided kingdom between evil and good? Mm-hmm. We need to ask ourselves out here, which kingdom are we following?
Yeah. And we're always going to be in a divided world. The world we live in is going to be divided between the two kingdoms. Jesus revealed the truth about reality. There is the kingdom of God and there's opposition to the kingdom of God, which we'll talk about a little bit more in the game plan. But at the end of the day, what it's all about is the kingdom is about the King, Jesus Christ, who personally has come to plant his flag in the heart of every human being on the planet and to win them into the Father's kingdom. That's the Lord's mission, and that's the mission of the church, and that's the mission of the Crossing the Goal.
Absolutely. You know, Peter, it's a critically important thing to see that we frequently don't realize how central this is to the mind of Jesus.
Yeah.
Throughout the Gospels, there's hardly a stronger theme. The first words of Jesus are, repent, the kingdom is at hand. When he dies, he has a sign, he's the King of the Jews. And throughout the Gospels, he speaks about the kingdom. Frequently, we're tempted to spiritualize our religious experience. But he founded a church which is the earthly manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, and how we live within that kingdom here on earth determines whether we'll go and live in heaven or not.
Yeah, amen, that's true.
Yep. The game plan for the kingdom with Peter and Curtis next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
We're back, and welcome to The Game Plan. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we're going to break open this theme of the kingdom, this fundamental theme within the Gospels. It's central to Jesus' preaching, and as we're looking at the kingdom, what exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, as you said so well up there, it's just a central part of the whole teaching, Jesus' whole understanding and optic. He's the King of a kingdom, literally. He's bringing a rule and an authority into the world, into the earth, where the rule is not currently being recognized and accepted. And he's coming to establish that rule because the Father has sent him to establish the kingdom, and that means to draw as many human beings as possible into relationship with the King, who's now the head of that kingdom, and everyone who's drawn will be drawn into God's life, God's plan, God's economy, and be able to live forever. So you see some key passages like in the book of Revelation. It says here, you know, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 12. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. So this is the heavenly understanding. The authority of the kingdom has come in the Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's offering us a share in the kingdom. And then Jesus gave some fantastic images of the kingdom in the Gospels. And what are some of your favorites, Curtis?
Well, I just to build on that and step back for a second and say the kingdom is perfectly lived in heaven. And there's an outpost in the middle of enemy territory here on earth. And Jesus describes that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, chapter 13, he gives seven parables. Yeah. And my favorite of them is actually the shortest of them in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and he covered up.
Yeah.
And for joy over it, he went and sold all that he had.
That sounds peculiar. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it's so odd. You're walking through life. You can imagine this guy's walking through life, and all of a sudden, he has all the desires that we want to be wealthy, we want to be protected, we want to be happy, and all of a sudden, he finds this treasure of immeasurable value in a field. He looks around, covers it up, and then he realizes everything I have pales in comparison to that.
Yeah.
So I now want to divest myself of everything that I have. I'm going to sell my property, my goods. I'm going to sell it all so that I can buy that field.
Yeah.
Because if I buy that field, then I have the treasure. And to step out of the parable and into reality, when we walk through life and we're looking for happiness and lasting joy, and we discover Jesus Christ, we should then be ready to sell all that we have for the joy of the treasure. And I think a lot of times we as Catholics sit around and go, oh, I guess I'll try to be a good Catholic because it's hard and heavy.
Yeah.
And the joy is not there because we haven't first discovered that treasure.
Yeah, that's so well said. We haven't beheld the pearl. I mean, we're in this. We're doing this. Why? Because we met Jesus Christ. We met what's beautiful.
And I thought it was for the money.
Yeah, it was for the big money.
No,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so for the don't. We're doing for the joy. That's right. We're doing it for the joy.
For the gold, that was no. For the joy that was set before us. Yeah, it's a very small pot of gold that's set before us right now. But anyway, the bottom line is it's out of love for Him. And the desire for people to come to see and to be touched by Him, because He's the best. He's absolutely the best. And being in relationship to Him brings the joy, the peace, and gives us consolation in great difficulties and hope when there's hardly any hope. He's the center of it all. He's the pearl.
Yeah, there's a song that says He's simply the best. He's better than all the rest. And what that really means is not just better than others. He's better than everything else put together.
Yeah.
If you put all the goods on this on one scale and on the other put you Jesus, you'd say, I would gladly give everything in this created world to have Him. If, in fact, I've discovered Him, which is His whole central theme. Pay attention to what I'm doing because something greater than Solomon, something greater than the temple is going on. Getting me right, getting right with me makes all the difference. That's the key to the kingdom.
Yeah.
You can then live as a subject of this kingdom here and then go to the kingdom where it's perfectly manifested in heaven forever if you get this right.
Yeah. And to know the King personally.
Oh.
That's the heart of it, is to know the King personally. Jesus wants to open up His life, His heart, His love, His power, His relationship with the Father, literally everything that's in the kingdom. He says, I've come to give you a kingdom. Literally, that's what's happening. He's coming to give us the kingdom of God, and we're all going to hit the lotto beyond our wildest imagining because He's begun it in us. He's planted another great, Jesus said, you know, the kingdom is like a leaven, you know, in the dough. It's just a little bit that makes the dough rise. He plants the kingdom in us. And despite the fact that we struggle in this earth and we have difficulties, He's growing that kingdom. And as long as we abide in Him, it's going to keep growing and growing. And He's ultimately going to perfect us and give us a share in the glory, like the apostles always say, of that kingdom that belongs to Him.
And there's at least two levels to the meaning of that leaven growing. First of all, it grows within us. So I embrace Christ. I encounter Him. I choose to follow Him as Lord. And then His kingdom starts to take root in my life. And one by one, the things that are dark in my heart and in my life that aren't in conformity with His will, I surrender those, and His kingdom grows in me. But the second part is, I then share that good news. Yeah. I let people know the joy inside of me that I have from discovering Him, and that's called evangelization, sharing good news. And then the kingdom spreads from one person to two, to four, to eight, to 16, to an entire world. The church is called to a new evangelization. We have to share the good news about this kingdom. Brian?
Amen.
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. And Coach, I guess in football terminology, the kingdom is like the end zone.
Yeah, but in crossing the goal, you got to go through the red zone to get to the end zone.
Absolutely. So we're in the red zone with Peter and Curtis next here on Crossing the Goal. We've reached the red zone on Crossing the Goal in our series on the things that Jesus said that are thought-provoking. We're talking about the kingdom, and Coach, we all acknowledge Christ as King, but boy, there's another prince out there that's always going for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know something, Brian? We know that in the end, that God's kingdom will reign on heaven and on earth. And Jesus tells us in John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But in the meantime, some of us are choosing the kingdom of darkness, the prince of darkness. It's difficult out here. The battle's going on like we talked about earlier, divided kingdom. So we have to make a choice of what we want to follow. And it's not easy. We get trapped. I think later on we're going to discuss some of the things, the personal things that go on in our life that prevent us from following the kingdom all the way.
You mean we're not perfect?
Perfect in every way, right?
Far from it.
No, I was just thinking in my own life as we were talking earlier how even though the Lord has helped me come to know Him and to follow Him in His church and to live the life, there's still stuff in me that just resists wanting to do what He wants me to do. You know, for example, I'm going to let my anger get out. I just had an argument with, had a big argument with my wife, you know, a month or so ago, one of the biggest ones we've ever had. And I was in the right in my mind in terms of what I was talking about.
Oh,
I said,
did you hear that, Debbie?
No, listen. But what I did was because I felt like I was right, and I was mad about a series of things, I put the pedal to the metal, you know, and I pushed too hard, and I went too hard. And I sensed the Lord saying, Back up,
big
buddy,
guy.
What are you talking about? But I was just like, I'm going to keep going. It was just wrong. And I felt this, Lord, after all these years of following you, here I am, I'm even hearing you say, I want to help you now, and I'm saying, I want to just keep going, you know? It's not fully yet on earth. So there's the image of weeds and wheat that Jesus gives us about the kingdom. There's wheat that He's growing up in us, but there's still a lot of weeds in us, but you know, He's the one who says He's going to have to pull it out when the time comes.
Absolutely. I'll be riding in my car. I don't know about you guys. You know, I've been to Mass, morning Mass, come back out. And there I am in my head judging other people, you know.
You just had communion. You were so pious.
I know,
pious.
So pious.
So holy.
Like, you got it all together, Danny. You phony.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? Who are you? You know, like the Lord speaks to me. Wait a minute. Who are you to judge anybody with your impatience? You want me to start naming some for you, Danny? Try your impatience. Try your anger.
Yeah.
Try all these other things. So you want to talk about other people?
Yeah, I've gotten
back.
But wait, just to say, please, if you can drive whatever speed you want, but if you're going to drive less than the speed limit, get out of the fast lane.
Right.
I'll be so much better if we just, thank you.
You're
I got it off my chest.
You're the cause of my impatience.
or texting. What about texting when they're driving?
Yeah, it's humbling, though. When you get mad at somebody for not using their turn signal or something, then you realize mine's not on either.
It's like
the Lord says, look at yourself first.
Yeah.
So can we talk about some areas in our lives that we're still trying to, you know, to really come under God's kingdom that are really challenging? Anybody want to jump in with that?
But more generally and then into specifics, but I just, every decision that I make, every conversation that I'm in, am I very aware that Jesus is Lord? I mean, there was a conversation that I was having with a person, and they just were affirming same-sex unions. And it was a very respectful conversation, and it would have been polite to just let it go and to sit back and say, how would Christ do this? And I was going to let it go, and then I sat back and said, wait, you know that I respect you, but I respectfully disagree. I'm just going to articulate the other side. And to be able to do that, and I felt in that sense that was one of those times when I had some success, because so often, as Peter was referencing, I can list 100 stories of situations where I sat back and said, my desire is to follow Christ unreservedly. But there's something deep and dark in my heart. I was thinking, as you were talking about your situation, I had to apologize to Mike Land not too long ago. I said, look, I swore to God on our wedding day that I would love and honor you all the days of our life, and I failed to honor you in this particular situation. And I'm devastated by that. I've done dumb stuff, but this was actually, it was positively dishonoring. I was angry. And it was just wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, not only was that wrong, but where did that come from? I love this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So there's something in there that comes out from time to time that indicates that there's a lot of darkness still
there.
You see
the power of pride and stuff. Like in my life, sometimes my own kids have brought this up with me over the years. You know, sometimes they say stuff to me and I don't listen to them. You know, like they're talking to me.
I'm sorry, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I didn't hear them. And I had an answer. You know what I mean? I already knew what I wanted
to say.
You
weren't really listening.
And
there,
yeah, I wasn't really, because I had a better idea. I had Dad's idea, I had a better idea. Come on, just get it out. And I didn't hear what they were saying. And sometimes it's just pride, it's impatience. I have a better idea. I don't want to humbly listen to my kids, you know? So it just, it's amazing what's still in our hearts. It's
you're killing
a mind
me. It's like you're living my life in Michigan.
Ryan, you know, some of the things that, and I don't know about you guys, what really is helpful for me to find out what is really in my life that, on an ongoing basis, that I'm falling away from the kingdom of God. When I go to confession, whatever I'm confessing, and it seems to repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The judgmentalism, impatience, and anger. So I know, and then I journal. I like to journal. And when you journal, be honest. In prayer time, I like to journal because the real stuff comes out. Those are the things that I know that I need to work on. And a lot of times, guys, it comes up, like you said, without, I really didn't want to do that to Michael Ann, you know, or I'll be in adoration, adoring the Lord, and in the most profound impure thought comes in. Now, that is not of me, but one thing for you people out there, I know how to get out of it quick, though. I immediately, like if it's an impure thought, I go to Mary immediately. Please take this away from me. Now, any other, the judgmental, I said, Lord, I don't want to do, you know, I'm not worthy to do this. Who am I to do? I need your help in this area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as I've done it, I've improved over the years, but I'm still not there.
And I think that we're talking about the kingdom.
Yes.
And Jesus talking about planting the seed in us and it grows over time. Look, he's telling us, I'm the one who will produce the work in you. Mm. You don't have the power to change anything. That's how sick your heart is. But what I need from you is I need you to cooperate with me. I need your attentiveness. I need you to welcome me. I need you to keep calling on me and allowing me to do the work in you. I will do it in you over time. I was just thinking, sitting here, I remember years ago, you know, as a younger man, I just, lust was a big issue for me and I fought it and I was tempted. I'd fall into temptation doing different kinds of things. And over time, the Lord just healed my heart and sort of took away stuff that I thought would never go away. But the Lord did it. And he just says, stay with me, stay in prayer, trust me, and I'll produce that. Because it's the work of the kingdom. The king is doing his work and he's establishing his kingdom.
The yeast is rising.
Yeah. And whatever he doesn't finish here, we're going to get, he's going to finish in purgatory and that's it.
That idea of I will do the work through you, that really addresses where I run into trouble is I pray every morning for humility that God would work through me, that I would do his work, not his job. And, you know, I mean it. And, you know, I go and I start the radio show on EWTN, the Sunrise Morning Show, and 10 minutes in, something goes not my way, and I'm in control. And I'm telling you that this isn't right, and this, you know, and I realize I'm not being God's instrument. I'm trying to be God here again. I'm trying to do his job, his work. Yeah, so that humility to realize who I am and who God is, that's the real challenge.
I think guys out there listen to us. I think the big thing is don't be so hard on yourself. I think that it's a long road to hoe. In the kingdom of God, I think what disturbs me a little bit is, as I see out here in the world, is we're not given the kingdom its due. We're not honoring God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our life. He doesn't expect it all the time, but in order for us to really live a balanced life, we have to have Christ as the King of Kings of our life. I beg you and plead with you and I'll pray that all of us make him the King of Kings out here in this world, and we'll see a different world because of it.
Can we all pray for the Lord to truly be the Lord of our life?
Why don't you lead us?
The kingdom. Yeah. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for establishing your kingdom here on earth. Help us to be your loyal subjects. Help us to be obedient to you and to the commands of our Heavenly Father. You have given us the example by your humble life, being obedient even until death. You showed us that this kingdom is not about power or glory, yet that is what you have in the end and what you promise us. But it's about giving of ourselves, of our very lives, to be part of this kingdom, to be in your kingdom as loyal subjects. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever.
And forever.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll go to the end zone next. Last word on the kingdom, and we'll dig into our email bag on Crossing the Goal.
We have crossed the goal. We're in the end zone. We'll get the last word on the kingdom from our Crossing the Goal team members. But first, we go to our email bag. From San Antonio, Pedro writes, I really want to change. I've been trying to do it on my own, but I always revert back to my old ways. How can I find the power for real change in my life?
Well, Pedro, I understand exactly what you're talking about because I fought that for many years until I finally realized that I had to make Jesus Christ number one in my life. I asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life and please change me. Now, there bells and whistles were off and I changed immediately? No, but I started walking with the Lord. I started doing prayer time, devoting more time to the Lord, hanging around with different people. I changed the guys I thought were my friends and changed to different Christian friends. And eventually my life started changing on a permanent basis.
And what we're up against, Pedro, is here in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, we're battling against the flesh in us that resists God's will. And he says at one point, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh or the deeds of the body, you will live. And part of what we need to do is learn how to come into a fuller life in the Holy Spirit. I know Danny talked often about going through a Life in the Spirit seminar. If you've never had an experience like that, getting prayed with for the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you want more information, go to renewalministries.net. A lot of information there about how to live a fuller life in the Holy Spirit. And of course, take advantage of all the grace the church gives us, Eucharist, confession. It's all there for us to strengthen us to live the life he's called us to live.
And Pedro, I was blessed with the 12 steps of recovery to kind of introduce me to a way of life that led me back to the faith. And the first step is powerlessness. In admitting my own powerlessness, I saw how I would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power comes from. Now the last word on the kingdom, starting with Peter Herbeck.
Thanks, Brian. Very simply, friends, I just want to say this. If you're listening, you've never in your life taken a moment to just stop and to acknowledge and realize that Jesus Christ is a real king of a real kingdom, and that he's calling you personally to respond to him and to enter his kingdom, I'd encourage you today, tonight, right now, just to get on your knees and to bow down and acknowledge him and say, Jesus, I want to live in your kingdom. I give you my whole life, and help me, Lord, live according to your commands, your economy, and your kingdom for your glory.
That's great. You know, there's a progression in the scriptures that begin with Jesus as he comes. The first thing that happens is the Magi greet him as a king. And as I mentioned earlier, his first words of his public ministry are the kingdom is at hand. When he's crucified, it's because he's a king. And then the book of Acts comes over and shows the apostles continuing the work and the teaching of Jesus Christ. And by the time the book of Acts ends, it's our turn. And it ends with this verse. It says that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ openly and unhindered. That's our call, guys, to stand up into a world that doesn't acknowledge Christ in all these areas of abortion or family or whatever it might be, and to stand up and preach the kingdom with boldness and fidelity to Jesus Christ. Do that and you'll change the world.
Men, what kingdom are we following? Is it the kingdom of darkness where the prince of darkness is? That's going to lead to eternal damnation, or the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us, guess what the reward is? Eternal salvation. Ask the Lord to lead you along the path to eternal salvation.
Thank you, Coach, and Curtis and Peter. And we want to thank you for the emails that you send. We'd love to hear from those of you who are using our small group resources from crossingthegoal.com. Send us an email. Let us know. You might hear your email read here on Crossing the Goal. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? We'll address that next time. Do you love me? Here on Crossing the Goal.